You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Lord have mercy, baby! I'm getting the feeling from the floor to the ceiling, making the walls shake like an earthquake, cause I'm your rhythm and blues brother from another mother, ready to smother your eardrums with the sweet sound going down around the town of 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. This stuff you just can't lose, baby, from the top of your head to the soles on your worn-out walking shoes. I'm your furry leader, Matt the Cat, never leading you astray, always pointing you in the right direction when it comes to the soul that came before rock and roll, the building blocks of what would become rock and roll music. Post-World War II rhythm and blues combos, baby. That's what we're all about here. And for the next hour, that is what I am going to deliver to you. So make yourself comfortable. Relax. Because you and I are about to embark on another one of my label journeys. Yes, we're going to take a very influential record label, and we're going to go deep, baby. We are going to spread this out over multiple weeks, because I believe in doing it right. So for the next several shows, we're going to take a look at Chess Records. Started by two Polish immigrants, Leonard and Phil Chess, in 1950... It was a vital part of blues, rhythm and blues, and rock and roll and soul until up around 1968 or so. Now you may have noticed I said the label started in 1950, but that's not the whole story, you see. Because before the Chess Brothers founded Chess, they were involved in an earlier label called the Aristocrat of Records. We'll just refer to it as Aristocrat Records. And that, cats and kittens, is where we're going to begin our story, because we can't talk about Chess if we don't talk about Aristocrat. And so in part one, we're going to focus on Aristocrat. Leonard was born in 1917 and his brother Phil in 1921 in the small Polish village of Modlin. They also had a sister, Malka. In 1921, their father Joe left Poland for America. He wanted to start a new life and would save up enough money to bring the rest of the family over. Well, he settled in Chicago and got involved in the liquor business during Prohibition, sometimes interacting with Al Capone, who of course controlled liquor in the whole region. He was also a carpenter, and it took him 7 years to save up enough money to bring the rest of the family over. But in 1928, Lazar, Fizel, Malka and their mother arrived at Ellis Island. Young Lazar had a touch of polio, and he had a leg brace. His mother knew that they wouldn't get through Ellis Island if they discovered that he had polio. So she took off his brace, hid it in some blankets, and they supported him as he walked through immigration. Having just arrived in a new country, they needed American names. So Faisal became Phil, and Lazar became Leonard. Their last name, Chaz, was changed to Chess. And they spent hardly a minute in New York before heading off to Chicago to meet up with their father, Joe. They lived and went to school on the south side of Chicago and grew up on the rough streets. But they had a community there, people from their hometown in Poland. And they all went to Temple together. Now, during this time, there was an influx of African Americans moving from the South up to Chicago looking for work. They settled into the South Side and the West Side, and the culture that they brought with them was predominantly down-home blues. The jukeboxes were jumping with down-home Delta blues, and the Chess Brothers took note of this. During the Depression, their father had purchased a junkyard, and on weekends, the boys would work in the junkyard. But as soon as Leonard got enough money scraped together, he opened up his own liquor store called L&L Liquor Shop. It wasn't just a regular liquor store. Not only could you buy bottles of booze there, but you could drink shots there, like a bar. That was not legal, but it was very popular with the African American community. The young entrepreneur also had a jukebox. at the liquor shop, and it was full of blues records. And he dug the sound of those nickels clanging into that jukebox. So he takes that money and moves to a slightly better neighborhood and opens up 708 Liquor Club and Shop. From there, Leonard starts getting into the nightclub business. He had a few nightclubs before working up to a bit of a high-class joint called the Macamba Lounge, located at 3905 South Cottage Grove. The Macamba Lounge was started in 1946, and back then you had to close your bar for 3 hours a day between 4 and 7 a.m. But Leonard wouldn't close the club. He would just draw the blinds, turn the lights down, and it became an after-hours joint for musicians to jam. It also catered to ladies of the night and people who were still up at 4 a.m. Leonard found that he made a lot of money during those 3 hours when they were supposed to be closed. He also was exposed to even more music. It was around this time that Phil got out of the military. He was in from 43 to 46. He rejoins his brother in Chicago, and as Phil liked to say, anything that his brother was involved in, he was involved in too. They were very close brothers. Well, in April of 1947, a little label sprung up in Chicago called the Aristocrat of Records. It was a venture between two couples, Charles and Evelyn Aaron, and Fred and Mildred Brout. Art Spiegel was also a partner. They were very eclectic. They did have some jump blues on the label, but they also had a helping of white crooners, light jazz, and some hillbilly. They began issuing records in May of 47 and recorded most of their stuff at Universal Recorders in Chicago. Now back over at the Macamba Lounge, their house band was future jazz great Gene Ammons, and they had a young singer named Andrew Tibbs. Now we'll get into his story in just a few minutes. But Leonard began to notice that there were some record labels that were courting Mr. Tibbs. He thought, well, if there's interest in this guy, why don't I just do it? Why don't I record him? And that combined with Aristocrat Records wanting to come into the club to do some live recording gave him an idea. He decided to buy into the company. But he didn't work in the music aspect of it. Initially, Leonard Chess's involvement with Aristocrat was in distribution and promotion. He would later become famous for doing this for Chess Records, but he started loading up the car and driving to every radio station he could get to, handing out promo copies of the Aristocrat 78s, shaking hands, slipping a few bucks to the DJs, etc. Leonard's involvement with Aristocrat really began in September of 47. But before we get into that, let's play a couple of records that showcase what Aristocrat Records was doing in 1947. We're going to kick it off with a group called the Five Blazes, featuring Ernie Harper on lead vocal and piano. We think this was recorded in April of 47 and released in June as Aristocrat number 201. Let's open up part one of Chess Records featuring the Aristocrat label with the Five Blazes and Chicago Boogie.
Well, I ain't from Chicago, I'm from a little town. No, I ain't from Chicago, I'm from a little town. But this boogie-woogie's so fine, I think I will stay around. We was up in Wisconsin, everything was really all right. Yes, way up in Milwaukee, everything was really all right. Now up there, they like the boogie, but they ain't got Chicago's beat. Somebody said, jump the boogie, that's what we're going to do. Yes, they said, jump the boogie, that's what we're going to do. And we'll call it Chicago Boogie if that's all right with you. Thank you. Chicago, please won't you pass the word that this boogie-woogie here is the finest you ever heard. But mama, I will tell you well. Yes, not now, baby. But mama, I will tell you well. I don't want to know where you're going. Woman, tell me where you've been. Why, she's got great big legs, real, real pretty thighs. Every time she's near me, boys, how my temperature rises, 'cause she's my baby. And I love her for myself. If I can't have my baby, I don't need nobody else. Soaking wet. You said I just washed them, baby, and they ain't dry yet. I'm through with you. Oh, I love you for myself. If you can't fly right, baby, I'll have to find somebody else. Keep all my money, take back my diamond rings, 'cause you're no account lying woman, and your words don't mean a thing. So that's all, baby. Mama, please be on your way. You'll miss my kind treatment one of these old rainy days.
Jump Jackson and his orchestra, with lead vocal by Benny Kelly, Aristocrat, 1947. Now, Jump Jackson was a drummer from New Orleans who had previously recorded on Specialty. He also backed up Tampa Red and appeared on many blues recordings for RCA and Columbia. Due to his connection to Lester Melrose, the Chicago blues heavy, who had a strong influence on what blues acts were recorded for RCA and Columbia. Jump Jackson's band was used on quite a few sessions for Aristocrat, but he only got credit as leader on two Aristocrat single releases. That one, Not Now Baby, was recorded in June of 47 and issued in September. The story of Aristocrat Records is sometimes told that they didn't have black artists until Leonard Chess joined the label. And that's just not true. See, Sammy Goldberg was working as their talent scout. And he brought in some great R&B acts, like this next cat. Tenor saxophonist Tom Archia. He played sax on many recordings, but also his band led on a few. Like this one, Mean and Evil Baby. Recorded in June, but not released until November of 47. Archia is on tenor, Bill Owen is on piano, Hurley Ramey on guitar, Dallas Bartley on bass, and Jump Jackson on the tubs. Lead vocals on Mean and Evil Baby are performed by Sheba Griffin. It's Aristocrat 601. They had a very strange numbering system. It was all over the place. It made no sense. Here's Tom Archia and his All-Stars with Mean and Evil Baby.
generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, Barry from Riverside, Arnold and Linda Rosenberg, Charles Liebman, Ken Farger, Gail Kuntz, Michael Carey, Mark and Marion McAlpine, and contributors Pamela Isabel. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
Miss Rosa here, keeping the tubes warm and the drinks cool at the Juke in the Back.
Well, I got the boogie woogie blues and I'm feeling so low down. I've got the boogie woogie blues and I'm feeling so low down. I'm feeling so bad 'cause my baby done put me down. We boogied last night, we boogied the night before. Boogied all night long and the whole night before. When my baby comes back, we gonna boogie some more. Well, that girl's got something, she calls it stingery. Yes, that girl's got something, she calls it stingery. Well, I don't complain when she puts that thing on me. Back. Hey, 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 Mr. Brakeman, come on back. Stop that train in the middle of the track. I want my boogie. Hey, hey, I want my boogie. 'Cause I ain't had no boogie in a long, long time. Well, hey, you rigid, open up the door. My boogie's inside and she's got to go. I want my boogie. Hey, hey, I want my boogie. 'Cause I ain't had no boogie in a long, long time. Boogie, 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 boogie. Boogie, 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 boogie. Boogie, 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 boogie. Boogie, 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 boogie. Had no boogie in a long, long time.
Shouter Clarence Samuels. Man, he sounds a lot like Roy Brown on that Boogie Woogie Blues. In fact, the flip side was Lollipop Mama, recorded the same year by Roy Brown. Samuels is recording with Dave Young's orchestra, and it's Dave Young blowing that mean tenor on that record, baby. Clarence Samuels was a native of Baton Rouge, but he was discovered by aristocrat talent scout Sammy Goldberg down in New Orleans, and he was brought up to Chicago to record. Not much came of his involvement with Aristocrat, but he did go on to record for Deluxe and Excello. Boogie Woogie Blues was recorded in September of 47, the same month that Leonard Chess got involved with the label. But Leonard was not involved, per se, with that record, which was released in December of 47. As I mentioned before, Leonard was doing the promotion and distribution for the label. Where was Phil? Well, actually, Phil was not involved at Aristocrat during this time. Phil was running the Macamba Lounge, which was becoming quite a fertile ground for the Aristocrat roster. At the top of the show, I mentioned a cat named Andrew Tibbs. Well, it's time to talk about Mr. Tibbs. He's an important part of Aristocrat's history, and he was singing at the Macamba Lounge. So this next record has a lot to do with Leonard's growing involvement in Aristocrat. He buys into the label, becomes a partner, and brings in Andrew Tibbs,
Real name, Melvin Andrew Grayson, a native of Columbus, Ohio. Tibbs was in Chicago because his father was a prominent Baptist minister there. For his session in September, Tibbs brings in two songs that he had written, Union Man Blues and Bilbo Is Dead. That record sold well locally, but got the label in a little bit of hot water. Apparently, Union Man Blues upset the Teamsters Union, but there really is no reason for them to get upset. There's nothing anti-union about the song. Tibbs is basically saying, don't mess with me now that I'm a union man. And its flip side, Bilbo Is Dead. Theodore G. Bilbo was a senator from Mississippi who had recently died of oral cancer. He was a segregationist. Tibbs is just poking fun at him, saying that, oh, now that Bilbo's dead, I feel like a fatherless child, and I arrived in Mississippi to find that my friend Bilbo was dead. Well, this angered a lot of people in the South, and so if you're a record shop down South and you are carrying this record, you might run into some trouble with some mobs, you know, coming into your store and breaking some records. But let's be honest, that controversy probably helped sell a few records. Anyway, it was a hit for Aristocrat. And now let's hear a little clip from an interview that Mary Catherine Alden did with the late Phil Chess, talking about the beginning of he and Leonard's involvement in Aristocrat Records.
Now, what made you guys decide to get into that? You'd already been kind of in the music business through the nightclubs.
Yeah, we had bands playing in there, blues, you know, blues guys.
And how did you make that decision to kind of go from being club owners to being record company?
Well, you had the axe right there, so we tried it. The first one he did was Bilbo's Dead. What was his name again?
Andrew Tibbs.
Andrew Tibbs, yeah.
Is that the first one that you remember of?
Yeah, I think so.
Of Aristocrat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had, the partners he had, they were doing white artists. They didn't do any good.
Mm-hmm. So Aristocrat was just a little local label.
Mm-hmm.
Had one or two things, but nothing much happening.
No.
And you and Leonard went in there.
Yeah.
As partners at that time to the existing owners, you came in as
partners? No, I bought out one of the partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other partner wasn't for the black stuff. Evelyn Aaron and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name again?
Charles.
Chuck.
Charles.
Charlie. And she liked music, but she liked that white stuff.
And mm-hmm. So, did you or Leonard have any experience in recording when you went into this? Did
no.
you know how a studio ran or how to do a
no,
session?
We went
or?
Up, no, we when we started recording, we went up to Universal's recording studio in Chicago.
And you rented studio time there?
Right.
And they provided an engineer to do the technical stuff?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember how much studio time cost in those days?
Yeah, it was, and the musicians was 41 and a quarter. It was pretty cheap, it was $100 and some.
For a session or for an?
For a session, yeah.
So you would go in and rent a block of time?
3 hours.
Texas, even went to San Antonio, but when I got to Mississippi, my best friend was dead and gone. Yes, Bilbo is gone. Well, he had to put it down. Well, I feel like a lonesome stranger. Yes, a stranger in my own hometown. I was a playboy and a devil. I had times that was really wild. Since Mr. Bilbo is dead, it makes me feel like a fatherless child. Yes, Bilbo is gone.
get along. But you can hurry back to Mississippi, 'cause Bilbo is dead and gone. Yes, he's gone. Well, he had to put it down. I feel like a lonesome stranger in my own hometown. Time ain't long. Yes, I feel mistreated. Seem like my time ain't long. Because the best friend I had done stole my lover and gone. I'm gonna buy me a Johnson machine gun and a carload of explosion ball. Babe, I'm gonna buy me a Johnson machine gun and a carload of explosion ball. Yes, I'm gonna be a walking cyclone from Saginaw to the Niagara Falls. Built a ball. Go and bring me my typewriter and a whole round built a ball. I'm gonna free my no good woman, boy, she's down at the state penitentiary wall.
Albert Landru, better known as Sunnyland Slim, with Muddy Water and Johnson Machine Gun. Released in March of 1948, you can always recognize the piano of Sunnyland Slim. He was playing at the Macomba Lounge, and it's Sunnyland that brought Muddy Waters to the attention of Leonard Chess and Aristocrat Records. Muddy's guitar playing on that record is his first appearance on Aristocrat. And Big Crawford is playing the bass, and we don't know who's on the tubs. That's Aristocrat number 1301. It seems what they were doing with this numbering system is that every time they put out a new artist, they gave them their own unique number. And so I guess the thought was that every record by that artist will have a similar number. I can see the logic, but really it just doesn't work out well for a record label to do that. Like I said, that was 1301. Well, 1302 features the duo again, but this time the names are reversed. It's Muddy Water with Sunnyland Slim. And yes, on the label it's printed as Muddy Water. But of course we know who they're talking about. McKinley Morganfield from Rolling Fork, Mississippi. His first release on Aristocrat Records as a singer was recorded in September of 47 and released in March of 48.
Muddy, born on April 4th, 1913, was raised on a plantation and was first recorded by the Library of Congress field archivist Alan Lomax in 1941 and 42. Those recordings are about as Delta blues as you could get. Soon after, he switched from an acoustic guitar to an electric guitar. In 46, Muddy actually had a recording session with Columbia Records, but they were not picking up on what Muddy was putting down, and so nothing came of it. Muddy moved to Chicago in 47, fell in with Sonnyland Slim, and Slim brought him in to Aristocrat to back him up. His talent was undeniable, and he was singing on the next release, Gypsy Woman. But keep in mind, Muddy Waters was not famous at this point. He was not the biggest act on the label. Andrew Tibbs was, because Bilbo Is Dead was selling. Gypsy Woman only moved a few copies. But we gotta play it here on the Juke in the Back. We gotta hear Muddy Waters singing on Aristocrat for the first time. Here's Gypsy Woman.
That you your mother's bad luck child. You know the gypsy woman told me that you your mother's bad luck child. Well, you're having a good time now, but that'll be trouble after a while. Now, you know, I went to a gypsy woman to have my fortune told. Say, you better go back home, son, and peep through your keyhole. You know, the gypsy woman told me that you your mother's bad luck child. Well, you're having a good time now, but that'll be trouble after a while. As she said, I peeped through my keyhole and have another main lane in my bed. You know the gypsy woman told me that you your mother's bad luck child. Well, you're having a good time now, but that'll be trouble after a while.
Muddy Waters' first time as a singer on Aristocrat Records and Gypsy Woman. Hey baby, how about some boogie woogie? Here's Tonky Boogie from a great boogie woogie pianist, Forrest C. Sykes, released in March of 1948 on this week's feature, Chess Records Part 1, the Aristocrat label. It's Aristocrat number 1401, Tonky Boogie on the Juke in the Back.
Thank you.
Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're featuring Aristocrat Records, and we're going to hear another one from the sphere of Muddy Waters. It's by fellow Mississippian Babyface Leroy Foster. Now, Babyface Leroy arrived in Chicago around 1945 with Little Walter. He was a multi-instrumentalist, but when he played with Muddy, he was on rhythm guitar. He mostly backed Muddy up, but on Aristocrat number 1234, he got to lead the band on a tune he wrote called Locked Out Boogie. Recorded in either October or November of 48, it was released in April of 49. When Leonard Chess was now calling the shots at Aristocrat. And it's this week's Great 78. Leroy Foster with Muddy Waters and Locked Out Boogie.
I went home last night, my baby, she wouldn't let me in. I went home last night, my baby wouldn't let me in. She said, go back to the north side, back to that horseshoe inn. I said, please, baby, please don't let me go. Please now, baby, please don't let me go. Now, Johnny, you love me, baby, love Mr. So-and-so. I can't stand a 10. Don't play the door, I can't even stand a 10. When you're starting, baby, please don't deal me in. When a man ain't got no money, the women's don't hang around. When a man ain't got no money, the women don't want him hanging around. When a man got plenty of money, the sweetest man in town. Try you well, babe, I ain't got no more to say. Try you well, babe, I ain't got no more to say. Take Mr. So-and-so, let him come on and have it with you.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
And I just can't keep on. Well, I feel like snapping pistol in your face. I'm gonna let some graveyard lord be her resting place. Woman, I'm trouble, I be all wood mine. Well, baby, I can't never be satisfied. And I just can't keep on. Baby. doorbell rang. Looking for mom, baby, I didn't see not a doggone thing. Woman, I was trouble, I was gone good night. Well, honey, I could never be satisfied, and I just couldn't keep up. Well, I know my little old babe, she gon' jump and shout. That old train delayed me, Lord, and I come walking. I be trouble, I be all right, man. Well, honey, ain't no way to work for me to be satisfied, and I just can't keep on dying. This morning, all I have was gone again. Late over in the evening, man, now I feel like blowing my horn. Well, now woke up this morning, all I have was gone. Went to the ocean running into the sea, but don't find my baby, somebody gone, sure bury me. Books went to the ocean, man, that ocean went to the sea. Well now, I don't find my baby, child, somebody sure gonna bury me. Like days, seemed like my baby would stop her whole evil way. But it seemed like hours and hours, seemed like days. Well now, seemed like my baby child, well child would stop her low down way.
Muddy Waters and Aristocrat Records have a hit, I Feel Like Going Home, a tune that Muddy originally recorded for Alan Lomax and the Library of Congress back in the early 1940s. He re-recorded it in late 1947 for Aristocrat, and that song, released in June of 48, hit number 11 in September of 48. Number 11 nationally on the rhythm and blues lists. It's just Muddy and Big Crawford on bass. Its flip side, I Can't Be Satisfied, was a reworking of an early Muddy tune called I Bees Troubled. And at this point in 1948, Leonard Chess has assumed a lot more control over Aristocrat Records. Evelyn Aaron, the other principal partner, had recently separated from Chuck. And it was Evelyn and Leonard Chess who were running the company. Remember, Phil Chess was not involved at this point. He was back running the Macomba Lounge.
So as Leonard took more control of Aristocrat, the Muddy Waters releases increased. Aristocrat was becoming more of a blues label, but they were still issuing a good amount of gospel and pop. Speaking of the blues, this next cat is one of the most underrated blues slide guitarists of all time. Robert Nighthawk, born Robert McCullum on November 30th, 1909, in Helena, Arkansas. He was a big part of late Aristocrat and early Chess Records. And this song, man, Black Angel Blues. Recorded on July 12th, 1949, and released in November of that year, this one features Nighthawk on slide guitar and vocals, Willie Dixon on bass, and Sonnyland Slim on piano. Black Angel Blues would later be called Sweet Black Angel, and then in 56, B.B. King would record a version of it, calling it Sweet Little Angel. But here's the original Black Angel Blues from the Nighthawks, as we feature Chess Records Part 1, the Aristocrat label, here on the Juke in the Back.
Thanks to the way she spreads her wings. I've got a sweet black angel. Thanks to the way she spreads her wings. When she spreads her wings over me, I've got joy in everything. If my black angel should quit me, I believe that I would die. If my black angel should quit me, I believe that I would die. If you don't love me, Black Angel, please tell me the reason why.
Well, all right, man.
Black Angel for a nickel, and she give me a $10 bill. Ask my Black Angel for a nickel, and she give me a $10 bill. Told I want a small drink of liquor, and she bought me a whiskey still.
The Nighthawks, Black Angel Blues. It's the end of 1949, and Evelyn Aaron has decided to leave Aristocrat. She had gotten a divorce from Chuck Aaron and was now ready to marry Art Sheridan. Art was involved in record pressing, and Evelyn wanted to stay in the record business, so she suggested that the two of them form a new company called American Record Distribution. Leonard had to buy her out of Aristocrat, which left him short of cash. It was also hard running a record label all by himself. And his other business, the Macomba Lounge, run by his brother Phil, was doing pretty good at running itself, so Leonard asked Phil to come over and help him run Aristocrat. Finally, the Chess Brothers were together, running a label that they had not started. By mid-1950, they would change that and rename the label Chess Records. And it would be the end of the Macomba Lounge that would give the fledgling Chess Records the boost it needed. But we'll talk about that next week on Chess Records Part 2 here on The Juke in the Back. I'm your host, Matt the Cat. Thank you so much for joining me this week for Part 1. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, until next time, soul, it's a feeling, and you get that feeling each week when you tune in to your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues right here on The Juke in the Back. Have a wonderful week, everybody. I'll catch you on that flip side. Bye-bye.
Well, we've run out of whiskey, and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on The Juke in the Back.